The one thing that hung around the hallways of the Cape Town International Convention Centre last week, even worse than the smell of the buffet lunch, was the land issue. Here was government wooing investors to make long-term capital-intensive investments while so much uncertainty still exists about the future of property rights, so fundamental to the rule of law in any country. Well, Johan Kutseer is head of the real estate team and a leading commercial attorney in Fasken's Joburg office. He's a recognised expert in the area of competition law as well. And Johan, you've also advised on some of the largest REIT deals, so a great pleasure to chat to you again about the land issue tonight. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks, and good to be here, and thanks for the invitation.
Now, the President alluded to state land in his State of the Nation address, and we'll get to that, but for those perhaps still confused about where we are on this long and rather convoluted road to amending Section 25 of the Constitution, just bring us up to speed. Where are we currently?
To start off, the Section 25, what we're talking about is the property clause. And this debate started early last year, early 2018, in the National Assembly, when a resolution was adopted, and the main idea and the intention at that stage was to change the property clause to make it explicit that expropriation without compensation can be used in certain instances. Now, this process culminated in a constitutional review committee and they adopted a resolution after the whole process last year, early December, and they called for a constitutional amendment to allow for this specific purpose. And early December, a draft resolution was adopted for the establishment of an ad hoc committee, which will initiate and introduce new legislation or changes to the property clause. Now, where we are now, at this stage, it looks like the committee will come out with a finding at the end of March this year. So at that stage, we'll only know exactly what the changes will be to the property clause or not.
And investors, as I said, are looking for legal certainty, Johan. It was the one clear message that came through at the mining in Durban last week. It's been very difficult to discern through all the political noise and the rhetoric out there exactly what a clear road ahead might look like. That did change somewhat. We saw the publication on the 21st of December of the draft expropriation bill for public comment, 60 days, I think, for that. What can be gleaned from the preamble to this bill?
The bill starts off with basically the constitutional principles, the general constitutional law principles. Starts off with the property clause, as contained in this constitution, and then the general principle of administrative action, reasonable, fair processes, and then that access to courts. That's the general principles. So to get back to the background, there is a current Expropriation Act that is the 1975 Act.
It was dated. It was in need of some bringing up to speed, shall we say.
Absolutely, because there were two attempts over the years to have a new Expropriation Act, but those were withdrawn, and this is where we are now. So this is to bring it in line. Mainly, the main intention is to bring it in line with the Constitution.
Which is ironic, because that particular clause in the Constitution will end up being amended. So therefore, one would assume that this bill would have to be amended to reflect that constitutional amendment once it's passed.
Exactly. It might be premature at this stage to comment, because this may change, because the whole principle of the bill is based on the section that may be amended.
It is rather curious on that level, but we have to deal with the bill in its draft form that we have before us. Nine chapters I see in all here, and as you pointed out in an article recently, probably the two most important chapters deal with the powers of the minister here to expropriate, and chapter 5, which deals with compensation payable for expropriation. What does chapter 2 actually say about the minister's powers to expropriate? They seem quite wide-ranging.
Yes, the powers of the minister is he can expropriate property for a public purpose or in the public interest. And it is important to note also that it is property in the widest sense, so it's not limited to land. So that's always something that one should
intellectual remember. Property, shares, all of those sorts of things.
Exactly, yes, that's the case. But the interesting part of the draft bill is that Section 3, Sub 3, expands the power somewhat further. It gives the minister power to expropriate the property which is connected to the provision and management of the accommodation, land and infrastructure needs of an organ of state. So that's also a bit wider. It's not only the public interest that we know in terms of the constitution. So, but this is, it looks like it's definitely a bit wider.
I mean, when we look at that, connected to the provision and management of the accommodation, land and infrastructure needs of an organ of state in terms of his or her mandate. Just give me an example where you see this happening in the real world, where one is perhaps providing services to the state might see fit to expropriate that land. One could see a coal mine tied to a state-owned enterprise such as Eskom perhaps falling into this category.
That is a good example. Remember, this is now an organ of state, so it has to be, so it is not for general public interest purposes. So if it is like an Eskom next to a mine, that is a good example. Just a bit technical, the Eskom's got its own legislation to expropriate, but it's by way of example. It may help us.
But because we do have a lot of those mines that were established under the old cost-plus arrangement to supply those Eskom power stations directly. Very interesting, that. And then Chapter 5 is also key, as this deals with the compensation payable for expropriation. What's important here?
The most important part is to understand that this is quite a departure from the current Act. This is now the 75 Act that we started off. Now, the current Act provides how compensation is calculated, and it's based, amongst others, on the aggregate of certain amounts. So it is an aggregate of the amount which a property would have realized if it was sold in the open market by a willing seller to a willing buyer, and an amount equal to make good any actual financial loss caused by the expropriation. So that's your current position. The new position in terms of the bill is basically a repeat of the property clause, section 25. And it's somewhat different. It's actually not somewhat different. It's actually quite different. Because section 25.3 provides that compensation must be just and equitable and reflect an equitable balance between the public interest and the expropriated owner, and then certain factors are looked at. One is the current use of the property, history of the acquisition and the use of the property, the market value of the property, and then state subsidies and the purpose of the expropriation. Now, the interesting part is the market value is just one of the factors. And so it is not the only factor to be looked at in terms of the current Act.
And provides that it may, in certain circumstances, be just and equitable for compensation to be zero. And that has always been part of the rhetoric that the President has certainly used coming out of the ANC conference. It was all about expanding upon under which circumstances a zero compensation would be deemed just and equitable. There is some confusion, for me at least, on one of the issues, and that is where land is held purely for speculative purposes. How is that defined? How do you even define that?
That's one of the issues that one can have with the specific section dealing now. Because what is helpful now is at least there is a list of instances where nil compensation can be payable. This is dealt with in section 12.3 of the draft bill. It will be just for public interest purposes. Remember, just to go one step back, for a public purpose will be for a road. Public interest is now for land reform purposes.
Yeah.
That's in terms of, and then there's a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 instances where it is possible if you look at all the relevant circumstances, and it's cases where there are labor tenants. Speculative purposes is one aspect that you mentioned now, and it's, I'll get back to that now, but then also where the land is owned by a state-owned corporation, where the owner of the land has abandoned the land and where the market value of the land is lesser than any subsidies and so on. So no problems with any of those examples. But speculative purposes will be very difficult to determine. When will somebody hold property for speculative purposes or not? And I think that's going to be one of the issues.
That is certainly going to be a big issue, very difficult. I can't get my head around how you would clearly define that, or more clearly define that. Obviously, the others where there's a labor tenant on the land, very often we find that in the agricultural sector, where the owner of the land has abandoned the land, the government's come out and always said it wants to parcel out land that is underutilized or unutilized at this stage, that would fall into that sort of category. Land owned by a state-owned enterprise, it's almost expropriating from yourself, which is what the president mentioned in his sonar. And the final point is obvious on that front as well. Overall, and back to probably my earlier question here, what do you make of the bill, considering that there's still so much uncertainty around Section 25?
What doesn't make sense is that comments have to be in before the committee, the CRC, comes out with their recommendation. So what is the purpose of commenting now at this stage on something that will change? So that is the one aspect that definitely will lead to further uncertainty.
Well, Johan, there are a few other things, such as the expropriation process, that are contained in this. Just briefly, when it comes to disputes, what rights do parties have here?
An interesting new introduction is there's a reference to a mediation process. But it's not defined yet, so that most likely this will come out in regulations, the process, and thereafter the courts. So all that has to be welcomed because it's all good and well, but it is always how these processes are implemented to see what will happen.
And the President's comments in that State of the Nation address, nothing new in the fact that government has identified land parcels owned by the state for redistribution as part of the solution here. It's been repeated in the past, so that didn't seem to be a bombshell. Do you read anything into that?
I didn't pick up anything new that was mentioned at this stage.
Johan Kutsia, partner at Fasken, with the latest on where we stand on our long and winding road to amending Section 25 of the Constitution and the recent expropriation bill that was tabled towards the back end of December last year. Let's cross now to Pusuletso, standing by with the latest news at the news desk.